is light. If it weren't for the evil in man, light would be everywhere. Can we feel or hear light? No, but in the hereafter we shall see him. The resonances with Christian theology are haunting. Haunting, too, are some eerily italicized interludes in which the hero visits, in dreams, three strange, presumably mutant characters whose ghostly presence has visited him since childhood. The telepathic, kind survivoress, through whom he is aware of Little Listener, a boy who has discovered how to use silent sound from glowworms, and the Forever Man, a Methuselan character who cannot die and who does nothing but tap a rock into which his finger has, over the ages, bored a deep hole. The Forever Man is old enough to remember light, but his mind has gone. Only when Jared mentions his obsessive pilgrimage in search of darkness does the full horror of the fall from light come home to his decayed consciousness. The awful darkness the Forever Man remembers is all around them, an observation which Jared, of course, does not understand. The book ends with the repatriation of the survivors into the outside world where light is real, our own world, which has become so familiar to us, unlike to Jared and his friends, we have forgotten how wonderful light is and the gift of sight. Yet so skillfully does Daniel Galloy draw us into Jared's world, we vividly feel his terror when the time comes for his first encounter with the blazing sun. The sensory overload is more than he can bear. This is undoubtedly hydrogen himself. Of all the novels I've read, this is perhaps the one that I find myself describing to others more often than any other. I am fascinated by the idea that the loss of our most important sense would lead to an entirely different understanding of the world, and I find that others are too. The plot is wonderfully conceived and faultlessly executed. But is it really plausible that all scientific understanding of the nature of light would disappear over the generations, and such quantities of once real knowledge degenerate into religion and superstition? The answer is probably yes, given that there would be no books and no computers, no storehouse of information other than human minds, whose impermanence and erratic medium of transmission through language is all too evident. But as for the theological analogy, the fall from a paradise garden, as haunting as I've described it, does it really mean anything? Listen to Dark Universe and judge for yourself.
Chapter 1. Pausing beside the hanging needle of rock, Jared tapped it with his lance. Precise, staccato-like tones filled the passageway. "Hear it?" he coaxed. "It's right up ahead." "I don't hear a thing." Owen edged forward, stumbled, and fell lightly against Jared's back. "Nothing but mud and hanging stones." "No pits?" "None that I can hear." "There's one not 20 paces off. Better stick close to me." Jared tapped the rock again, inclining an ear so he would miss none of the subtle echoes. There it was, all right, massive and evil as it clung to a nearby ledge listening to their advance. Ahead were no more needles of rock he could conveniently tap. The last echoes had told him that much. So he produced a pair of clickstones from his pouch and brought them together sharply in the hollow of his hand, concentrating on the returning tones. To his right, his ears traced out great formations of rocks, folded one over the other and reflecting a confusing pattern of sound. Owen clutched his shoulder as they pressed forward.
"It's too smart. We'll never catch up with it."
"Of course we will. It'll get annoyed and attack sooner or later. Then there'll be one less Subat to contend with."
"But radiation, it's pitch silent. I can't even hear where I'm going."
"What do you think I'm using clickstones for?"
"I'm used to the central echo caster."
Jared laughed. "That's the trouble with you pre-survivors. Depend too much on the familiar things." Owen's sarcastic snort was justified, for Jared, at 27 pregnancy periods of age, was not only his senior by less than 2 gestations, but also was still a pre-survivor himself. Drawing up beneath the ledge, Jared unslung his bow. Then he handed Owen the spear and stones. "Stay here and click out some distinct tones, about a pulse apart." He eased forward, arrow strung.